Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Okay, so let's unpack this a bit. You probably think you know the story of Chernobyl, right? The worst nuclear disaster in history.
That everyone knows, yeah. Scarred a nation, reverberated everywhere. The name itself is just heavy.
Exactly. But what if that widely accepted narrative, what if it's missing something huge, something terrifying?
A whole hidden chapter. Almost deliberately buried, it feels like.
Yeah, what if the official record, you know, it just stops right when the really disquieting truth is actually starting, long after those, like, crackling fire brigade radios went silent on April 26, 1986?
Indeed. Our deep dive today, it really goes far beyond public memory. You know, we're digging into this concealed history behind what some people have apparently called Chernobyl's Vanished Four.
Vanished Four, okay.
Yeah, individuals whose very existence seems to have been systematically just erased. Their fates completely wrapped up in classified silence.
Mm-hmm.
We're basically excavating fragments here, drawing from sources that feel like, well, like forensic narration of these unbelievable events. We've got these chilling declassified Soviet memos that hint at something much darker.
Okay.
Harrowing lab log diary entries. I mean, documenting impossible transformations. And even whispers, little hints in 1992, the CIA intercepts, where they're clearly trying to figure out what happened, this sudden, like, inexplicable void.
So the goal is to piece together a reality where the official story ends.
And the truly unsettling begins.
Yeah.
And just to put it out there, on this one, you'll hear that even we have kind of wildly different interpretations of what actually became of them.
Definitely.
My perspective, honestly, based on the sheer lack of any trace, I lean towards a tragic end, a definitive one. To me, that silence, it's absolute. It feels like the logical, although, yeah, heartbreaking conclusion when someone just vanishes after something so violent. See, and for me, that exact silence is what makes it so profoundly suspicious. That phrase from the files, no bodies, no leads, that doesn't automatically mean no longer existing.
Right.
It means the search failed. It means maybe there was a deliberate erasure or, and this is the really disturbing part, maybe it means they pulled off a successful vanishing act.
Using their abilities.
Potentially. So this isn't a story that's resolved. It's a narrative defined by absence, by a void that just screams out for answers. It's like this chilling echo suggesting something unseen might still be ongoing.
Okay, let's start at the beginning then. The epicenter of the unseen. We all remember the horror, April 26, 1986. Chernobyl.
Mm-hmm.
The explosion, the exposed reactor core, that frantic scramble, the invisible enemy of radiation just everywhere. It was a cataclysm. It redefined disaster for the modern age.
The scale of it was just immense. Global impact. It's burned into our collective memory for sure.
But amidst that chaos, these declassified fragments we've managed to piece together, they reveal something shocking, a deviation from everything we thought we knew.
Imagine the scene, right? Firefighters battling this inferno, the air thick with radioactive particles, Geiger counters just screaming off the charts.
Unimaginable.
And then, right in the middle of that hellscape, chillingly close to the exposed reactor core, four unidentified individuals were found.
Unidentified, not workers.
Doesn't seem like it, or at least not identifiable then. And they were unconscious, barely alive. I mean, the sheer improbability of anyone surviving that level of direct, unfiltered exposure.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first terrifying anomaly here. It just shouldn't have been possible.
And the sources, they're very specific. These individuals showed signs of severe mutation. That phrase jumps out.
It really does.
This wasn't just radiation sickness, which is horrific enough on its own, but severe mutation. What does that even imply? What kind of transformation had already started right there in those first moments?
We're talking something profoundly altered.
Yeah.
A visible, horrifying impact that had already begun to, like, rewrite their biology.
Yeah.
It speaks to an immediate visceral change far beyond what was publicly understood back then about extreme exposure.
So severe here suggests what? Radical physical changes, not just burns or sickness.
Exactly.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Think maybe skin discolored in ways that defy medical textbooks, tissue breaking down at an unnatural speed, maybe even the start of cellular restructuring, perhaps new growths or distortions of their skeletons. Things totally alien to the human form.
God.
And the fact they were unidentified is also crucial. Who were they? Workers from a shift no one accounted for. Intruders. We just don't know. But that anonymity, that lack of a known identity, made them easy to classify, easy to disappear. To become subjects, not people. It was the first step in their erasure.
And the speed, the secrecy of their removal, it's disturbing. They weren't rushed to a public hospital, not even a standard military one.
Yo.
Instead, these four were immediately taken, whisked away to a hidden military lab somewhere deep in the Carpathian Mountains.
Right. This wasn't about saving lives in the conventional sense. It was about classification, about control, right from the very first second. It established this deep layer of government secrecy that would just swallow them whole.
And this lab. It wasn't just any facility. It sounds like it was built for something specific, something dark.
This place, yeah, hidden away in those remote, misty mountains. It had a code name, Project Volia.
Project Volia.
The name itself is just hauntingly ironic. Volia, in some Slavic languages, can mean will or freedom.
Freedom for a project designed for control.
Exactly. A project built to strip away individual will. Named for its exact opposite. And the initial lab observations, the fragments of logs we have, they're immediate and stark. They just say each of them had changed.
Changed beyond the initial mutations.
It seems so. This wasn't just a continuation of what started at Chernobyl. It was the unfolding of something deeper, more profound, a terrifying metamorphosis. The horror of their exposure was really just the prologue.
The transformations they went through in that lab, it sounds like something out of science fiction, but the sources insist.
They were no longer just radiation victims, no. They were becoming something entirely new. Something else.
Let's get into the individuals, because the specifics here from those fragmented lab logs are the core of this whole disturbing story.
And this is where those diary entries, the lab logs, become so vital. They offer this bewildered, often terrified account from the scientists themselves. They were grappling with phenomena that just defied everything they knew about biology, about physics.
These weren't just powers, they were breaks in reality.
Absolutely. Deviations from the known laws of nature. It forced these scientists to confront the totally unknown, to question every assumption they had.
Okay, so first, Michael Reid. The logs say he could store radiation and fire it like a weapon.
Yeah. Just pause on that. Not just absorb the force that destroyed Chernobyl, but weaponize it, direct it, unleash it.
The destructive potential in a human being, it's staggering. How would you even measure that? Did Geiger counters just overload?
The logs hint at that, yeah. The scientific team faced an impossible task. Understanding a living person who could manipulate a fundamental force of nature like that. For Michael Reid, this living radiation conduit. The logs might detail frantic efforts to build, like special containment chambers using theoretical materials. They were trying to figure out if he was generating radiation or just absorbing and re-emitting it.
A biological entity defying nuclear physics.
Pretty much. They must have wondered what his internal systems even looked like. Were there new organs? Was every cell changed? You could almost feel the bewilderment in those notes.
Then Sarah Quinn, she could slip through walls.
Mm.
I mean, just think about that, the disorientation. It's a fundamental break with physical reality. Not using a door, just phasing through solid matter.
How do you contain that? How do you even study it?
Exactly. What does that do to your own atomic structure?
Mm.
It breaks physics as we know it.
A being who defies solidity itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, containment would be almost impossible. The early logs probably detail futile attempts to secure her. Guards just baffled when she's suddenly not there.
In the gate.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
It's the whole concept of physical barriers.
Right. The scientists might have scribbled theories about quantum entanglement or phase shift stuff way beyond their practical grasp, but happening right in front of them.
Mm.
Did her atoms momentarily disperse, reconfigure? What would that feel like? The psychological impact alone, huge.
Okay, third, David Brooks, described as having fused with metal.
Yeah.
What does that even mean? Fused, like his body merged with it, organic and inorganic blurring together.
The documentation, what little exists, suggests it wasn't just external. It was intrinsic, cellular fusion.
Oh, God. Flesh and steel becoming one.
Think about human tissue integrating with inert metal, gaining its properties, maybe its density, its strength. The scientists must have watched this human being become something other. Maybe impervious to normal injury, but trapped in this unnatural state.
Were they trying to separate him or just understand how it worked?
The records hint they were mainly observing. Trying to understand how the two substances could coexist at a molecular level. It was a deeply unsettling scientific frontier they were on. And the psychological horror for him? Unimaginable. Feeling yourself become less human, more machine.
And the last one, Emma Blake, her ability, maybe the most unsettling, she could destroy matter with her voice.
Chilling.
And the extreme measure they took keeping her muzzled, that speaks volumes, doesn't it? The sheer terror she must have inspired.
Oh, absolutely. The muzzle wasn't just a restraint. It was a desperate act of self-preservation by her captors. They were dealing with a living weapon who could literally dismantle reality with a sound.
So the tests.
The lab logs would detail meticulous, horrifying tests. They'd remove the muzzle only inside heavily reinforced sound-dampened acoustic chambers, unleash her voice on concrete, steel, maybe even living things. Each test, a horrifying demonstration.
And the failed obedience drills.
Must have been terrifying. A reminder of the raw power they were trying, maybe failing, to control. It wasn't just about control for the project's goals. It was about sheer survival for the observers.
So how did they control them day to day? Four individuals with powers like these.
Brutally simple methods.
Mm-hmm.
Each one wore a heavy electric collar around their neck.
An electric collar.
Yeah. A tangible symbol of their captivity. A constant reminder. If one disobeyed, the source says, the shock would drop them in seconds. No argument, just immediate agonizing pain. Incapacitation.
This wasn't just containment, was it? It sounds like bureaucratic horror.
That's a good way to put it. For 6 years straight, from 86 when they were found until 1992, these four people were systematically tortured, tested, and trained.
Trained? How do you train someone under those conditions?
That's the chilling part. Yeah. It wasn't training as people. The source says trained as weapons. It was systematic dehumanization,
yeah.
Reducing them to tools for some unseen state purpose. Project Volia Freed, the name is just perverse.
But if they were training them as weapons, wouldn't they need some level of cooperation? How do you train someone whose spirit is being constantly crushed?
That's the twisted logic, isn't it? The training wasn't about fostering skill or control in them. It was about absolute subjugation. Teaching them resistance was futile, that their bodies, their abilities weren't their own.
So the tests for Michael Reed
might involve forcing him to discharge radiation into targets in controlled chambers. Mm. Measure the output, the range, the destruction, like calibrating a weapon.
And Emma Blake,
removing the muzzle only in those soundproof rooms. And imagine the sounds, not just her voice, but the hum of those collars activating during the failed obedience drills, the agony inflicted until they complied. That lab, it wouldn't just be mechanical whirring. It would be steeped in this oppressive silence, punctuated by the crackle of electricity, maybe muffled screams, the sound of people being broken.
6 years of that, until 1992, and then the narrative shifts dramatically.
Yes, 1992, a critical moment during the collapse of the Soviet Union.
That specific timing, it feels crucial. The whole system was fracturing, central authority dissolving, chaos, lack of oversight.
It created the perfect storm, didn't it? A window of opportunity that wouldn't have existed even months before. You can almost imagine the guards being more lax, communication breaking down, supplies getting erratic, the whole rigid structure weakening.
Those old propaganda clips from the era, you hear the confident pronouncements, but underneath, the whole thing was crumbling. That disarray must have reached even secret labs like Volia.
And the official records, or rather, the way they just abruptly stop around this time, it speaks volumes. Central control was gone. It created this operational blind spot, this moment of vulnerability for a project that relied on absolute secrecy and control.
And this wasn't a rescue mission from outside.
No, the source is clear. They fought back, they broke free. This was internal, an act of rebellion. Four beings pushed past their limit, finally striking back, using the chaos outside to fuel their escape from that six-year nightmare.
And they didn't just escape, they made a statement. They burned the lab to the ground.
Obliteration. Not just breaking out of prison, but destroying the evidence. The records of their torture, maybe trying to ensure no one else could be subjected to it or that the science couldn't be replicated.
You can almost hear it. The destruction, the fire, maybe muffled screams of staff caught inside, and maybe a final desperate Geiger click as the lab itself burns, releasing whatever energies were contained there.
And then the core mystery. They vanished.
Vanished.
The key phrases from those declassified fragments, they're so blunt, so chilling. They were never found. No bodies, no leads, just a burn facility in silence.
And the CIA intercepts from 92.
They don't report sightings, from what we understand, but they seem to indicate this sudden, unexplained void in intelligence regarding Project Volia. Like it just went completely dark.
A scramble to understand what happened.
Probably. Frantic.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Questions.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out how a highly sensitive project in the Carpathians just disappeared off the map, leaving behind only scorched earth, an intelligence black hole.
Okay, so here's where our interpretations really diverge, I think. For me, the sheer violence of it burning the lab down combined with no bodies, no leads, it points strongly towards their deaths. Maybe caught in the fire they started, maybe their own powers contributed to their destruction in the chaos. Leaving absolutely no trace.
So the silence is finality for you.
It feels like it. The most logical, if tragic, outcome. There's no trace because there's nothing left to trace. The silence is absolute. End of story. A horrifying one, but finished.
And I can't get there. That phrase, no bodies, no leads, it doesn't automatically mean death to me. It means the search failed.
But after burning down a lab.
Consider their abilities. Michael, firing radiation, Sarah slipping through walls, David fused with metal, Emma destroying matter. Could they have used those abilities to ensure their escape left no trace? A complete lack of evidence for beings like them could actually point to a successful, deliberate disappearance.
So the lack of evidence is suspicious in itself.
Exactly. It's the completeness of the absence that's fascinating. It could suggest evasion, not destruction. For me, this isn't finality. It's a profound void. A lack of information that feels deliberate, suspicious.
And then there's the bureaucratic erasure on top of that.
Right. Their names were erased, their existence classified. To the world, they never existed. That's a conscious effort to bury the truth, to impose this narrative of absence, regardless of what really happened, the system covering its tracks.
To the world, they never existed, the source says, and maybe that's for the best, which is a chilling sentiment from the state's perspective.
It really is. The desire for this terrifying power, this anomaly, to remain secret, even if it means denying the existence of four human beings, burying what they endured and what they became, erasing lives like they were typos.
But for the best. For whom?
Exactly my question. Is it for the best, for the world, for us? What if they are still out there, uncontrolled, evolving maybe? Does their vanishing solve the problem, or does it just start a new, unseen one?
The implications of that kind of power loose in the world, without oversight, without tracking.
And potentially carrying 6 years of resentment for their torture. What if that experience didn't just make them want to hide? What if it cultivated something darker? The silence isn't comforting. It's loaded with unsettling possibilities.
So if they did vanish, if they are still out there, how would that even work? Decades after Chernobyl, in our world of constant surveillance, they couldn't just, you know, walk down the street.
No, probably not. The sources hint at more of an unseen horror principle. They wouldn't leave obvious footprints. They'd corrupt. Influence leaves subtle, disturbing traces that nobody can quite explain.
That's silence again. It's not empty, it's suspicious. The shadows mean something.
Right. What if Michael Reed's energy signature causes weird, unexplained power fluctuations somewhere? Anomalous readings on monitoring stations? Things dismissed as glitches?
Or Sarah Quinn. Maybe she leaves fleeting distortions on security footage. A blur that makes no sense. Or impossibly locked doors found open from the inside, no sign of entry. You hear about weird things like that sometimes.
Exactly. Minor glitches, things that don't add up. And David Brooks, could his presence subtly warp infrastructure in forgotten places, fusing with metal in abandoned factories, leaving strange anomalies in building materials that engineers can't explain?
A twisted beam, metal melded to concrete, dismissed as an accident or decay.
Precisely. And Emma Blake, her destructive voice? Maybe not used overtly, but what if a sudden localized collapse of something, a disintegration of matter in a remote spot, or a bizarre acoustic anomaly picked up somewhere? What if it's linked? Not a big bang, but a sudden silent unmaking of things.
We wouldn't get sightings. We'd get fragments, weird events, things that defy conventional explanation.
Yeah. A modern eyewitness account wouldn't be, "I saw one of them." It might be someone describing something impossible. They witnessed a structural failure that makes no sense. A digital recording glitching in an inexplicable way, a power grid issue with no cause.
These subtle traces lingering on the periphery, dismissed as random occurrences. But if you knew about Project Volia,
they take on a whole new, much more unsettling significance. The source is stark. No bodies, no leads, just a burned facility in silence. The ambiguity there, the lack of closure. That's the source of the dread, isn't it? This story doesn't feel finished. It feels paused.
So summing this up, what does it all mean? We dug into this chilling truth behind Chernobyl's Vanish 4. It's a story of horrific mutation at ground zero, followed by years of torture, dehumanization, a violent escape, and then just absolute disappearance.
We've talked about their discovery near Reactor 4. The names Michael Reed, Sarah Quinn, David Brooks, Emma Blake. Their incredible, terrifying powers that broke known science.
We've explored Project Volia, that secret lab, the 6 years of torment, and that untraceable escape in 1992 during the Soviet collapse. The official story, they never existed, erased.
But if you connect the dots, look at the bigger picture. The most disturbing part isn't just what happened to them in that lab. It's what didn't happen afterwards, the total lack of resolution. The records stop, the lab burns, but the question just hangs there. Does never found really mean gone forever?
Especially with abilities like theirs.
Exactly. So consider this. What if the most terrifying thing isn't some monster you can actually see? What if it's the one deemed too dangerous to ever officially acknowledge? The one that truly vanished, leaving only that burned out lab and this deep, pervasive, unnerving silence behind?
A silence that might be its greatest weapon.
Precisely. What subtle echoes of Chernobyl's darkest secret might still be reverberating around us, unseen, unheard, just waiting in the shadows.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.